much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Boys and girls, it's time to rock and roll. Let the party begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Because I've been an editor for 9 years, I edit other bands' videos in Brooklyn, and I edit my own. It's not.
You made this video?
Obviously.
What this bitch said.
8 maids are milking, 7 swans are swimming, 6 geese are laying, 5 gold!
That, sir, is what makes you a great damn American. God bless you. Thank you very much, Kevin. Bean, you.
And then we fell in love. Okay? No, really. He wrote me beautiful letters. And they're great letters. We fell in love.
All right, let's see if Jesse can have us go out on a high note here. Hey, Jesse.
Oh, hello.
Nope.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
West Side.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
It sounds racist.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Say what?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Call now.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That is what happened, yeah.
Roll another one.
I love Areola.
Just like the other one.
Very strange.
This one seems to be about.
Are you in a fog of a schedule right now?
I don't have another cent.
Good morning.
But the whole dark and joints.
Yes, indeed.
This passing around.
Raise more.
And the whole dark that joint, my friend.
I'm not sure if that's true.
But just pass it.
And now.
Happy Friday. Da, 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 da. Happy Friday. Da, 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 da.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Taking that back.
It's hurtful.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 30th of November. What's up, kids?
Hi.
Does it bother?
That was pretty close to hello.
Oh, oh, hello.
Please call us back, Jesse. We want to learn more about you. Does it bother anyone else? You guys are going to think this is dumb, but I gotta get it off my chest because now it's all I'm thinking about. Does it bother you guys that November only has 30 days and not 31?
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious because look. In my mind, October, November, December are a team, okay? They are locked in together.
They are
the fourth quarter. They are the months of the holidays. That's your October Halloween. Your Thanksgiving is November, and your Christmas is December. They're locked in. They're together. They should all be the same, okay? It seems unfair to me that October has 31 days, and then November only gets 30, and then December back to 31. What's that about?
Do you think if Bean didn't have a radio show, he would be doing this just to himself?
100%.
King of comedy style, yeah. In a basement.
Yeah, well, Donna would have left him a long time ago if he didn't have this outlet.
How do you know she didn't?
Oh.
Right? Sure spends a lot of time away.
Huh.
But doesn't that bother you guys at all? A
not
little
even
bit?
A little.
Come on.
How can it? It's been that way your whole life. It's not like they changed it last week.
Right, but it just.
So who cares?
It just. It's the
learn
symmetry.
It. You go to school when you're a kid, you learn it, and you go, okay, 30 days, great. Mm-hmm.
No, I got
that's
that.
That's the last thought you have of it for the rest of your life.
I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and think it's November 31st. I know it's not, but my point is it would look better and feel better if it were. That's what I'm saying. I just, I mourn that lost day.
To be honest.
You don't mourn a lost day, first of all. And second of all, it's an even number. You like even better than odd, don't you?
I do, but
All right, well, 30 is good.
Yeah, but I want them all to match. I mean, you would rather see 17, 17, 17 than 17, 16, 17, as
an example. I wouldn't care at all.
Go ahead, Allie.
It bothers me that you don't feel the same remorse for September. And I know you're talking about holidays, but September really kind of ramps up everything. The kids are back in school. There's a change in the air. And that month only has 30.
I feel like
you're being a dick.
It doesn't bother me at all. Because
he's a September dick. That's what he is.
It's not part of the October, November, December club. That's why.
No one looks at those 3 months like a club either. They're months. They're not a club.
I don't like it. I'm just you came very close to swearing, didn't you?
We're truly ignoring the problem of February, which I do have a problem with. I think that February being that far off.
All right, you get out.
All right. Hold on. Let the man talk.
Sure.
Here's what I'm saying. Is that date, it's almost like a month that doesn't even exist amongst the other months. That's the real black sheep of the year.
Well, February to me, I actually enjoy it. I'll tell you why. I see your point.
See, double standard right
now.
No.
February, I have strong February feelings. February is Pluto.
February is
the little oddball on the outside of the solar system that isn't quite as cool as everybody else, but because he's beat up on and crapped on, I root for February.
I feel bad. I guess I root for him in front of his face, but behind his back, I feel as if he's not giving a fair shake.
Stop it with that! So if you could, Judson, if you were running things, if they came to you and said, we're making you king,
yes,
would you shave some of those 31s off and give them to February and even it all out, have a lot more 30s?
Absolutely. I'd give the squirt of the
litter
something.
Kevin, let's get out of here.
Right?
Kevin, we gotta go.
This is ridiculous.
This has gotten insane. And
Jensen's just kidding based on being serious.
No,
he's not.
I'm not. I think February deserves more dates.
No,
and also, we give it to it.
Your boy's a problem.
By the way, we give it to it during leap year. We almost feel bad for it every few years, and then we say, you know what, give him one.
Stop it!
That really is just teasing February every 4 years by saying, you can play two, and then the next year comes around and they go, beat it, kid.
Exactly.
It's
like if
you're
going to
stop this right now.
It's like if they put Brad Williams...
Stop! I cannot believe this!
It's like if they put Brad Williams on the Warriors and every few years let him play.
Kevin, you're telling me, and I'm going to brace myself here for the answer.
Here's what I'm telling you.
No, let me finish the question.
All right.
I'm going to brace myself for the answer because I feel like you're about to disappoint me. You're about to disappoint your family.
America's fine. America's not fine. Sorry.
If they came to you and they said, Kevin, we've decided, we took a vote, and you get to design the calendar again. We get to start from scratch, and you get to change whatever you want.
I would say, no thanks. Is there anything important that I need to do?
You wouldn't make it better?
No.
It wouldn't just be better.
It would just be different.
You would just say, it sucks the way it is, but I'm fine.
It doesn't suck the way it is.
You're like the guy who doesn't vote and complains about the world.
It just is what it is. You learn that in grade school. You move on. You never give it another thought.
But why can't we make it better? Look,
because that's not making it better. It's just changing it.
All right, you're going to think this is a crazy comparison.
I think this whole thing is crazy.
But slavery was what it was. But somebody came along and said, hey, you know what?
God.
There's a better way. And then we, as a nation, we said, okay, let's do something different that's better. We can't just accept it because it's always been that way.
Bean's just trolling us now,
Allie. Yeah, he's the king of whataboutism right now.
I don't like that November.
Right,
year,
no one gives a crap.
I just can't believe we have to do a radio show for the rest of the day with a slave owner.
I can't.
While Bean and I, we were the ones who were standing up telling people that everyone's equal.
That's right.
We have one.
Why
don't
you just poop on the Emancipation Proclamation, Kevin? Why don't you just do that while you're at it? Ugh, I'm disgusted. I quit.
Thank God, finally. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Well, that's kind of rare for a young, hip soul brother like you.
Keep it 100 because it's Friday.
Yeah.
Love that. Brand new internet roundup on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
We have comedian Bill Burr.
Love Bill.
Nice.
Who's better than him?
He's certainly one of the best in the world.
Comedian Louis Anderson.
Wow.
How
about that?
This is a lot of show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cheers with beer mug.
Nice.
He went to a bar and asked people if they died, what would they be embarrassed by that was would be found in their house?
Oh.
Which is a pretty complex question.
Oh, no.
But he's able to pull it off somewhat. Plus, we've got your tickets for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light backstage passes as well. We will take a break.
Hope we get to revisit that, if you could change the calendar conversation later today.
Oh, do maybe you,
take
Massa?
Maybe take some calls. That's
okay.
Really
a, that's good. I'm in.
Yeah,
let's
I'd
do it.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
That's a hot one.
Hey, speaking of Cage the Elephant, they have been teasing on their social media channels lately that they are completely done with the new record, and any day now we should be seeing new Cage music. I like that band a lot. So
same.
That'd be fun. Hey, Allie's here with our first look at what's happening here on this Friday. Good morning, Allie.
It's Friday.
Yay.
First of all, guy named Rob actually just emailed and said, "Folks, what odd manner of complete and utter bollocks are you talking about this morning? You're throwing off my shower ritual." Fire beer mug. I don't know what he'd be doing in the shower. Right. Maybe he was so riveted he couldn't get in the shower yet, or maybe he was trying to drown himself during that conversation. I don't know. But we need to save Rob, and I apologize for Bean and Jensen.
Okay. And fire beer mug.
Yes, he did add fire beer mug.
Okay,
which I do enjoy.
We can all agree on something.
Absolutely not. Guys, I had a really rough night last night.
You did? What happened?
You were worried about the months?
No. No.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Uber Eats would not deliver.
I don't do Uber Eats. I do Postmates.
Postmates was closed for the night.
Well, it was.
So you had to starve.
It was a little late because it was raining, so everything was kind of pushed back. That was part of it.
Okay.
Let me guess. There were no Christmas movies on last night.
That's ridiculous, first of all.
That's a great
of course that would never happen. And okay. B, I have a whole thing in my DVR, okay. So we're good.
Oh, what could it have been?
Kevin, you got one?
I don't.
No. Your batteries ran out?
First of all, gross. Second of all, everyone has a Hitachi that you can plug in.
Okay.
Right.
Come on.
Jeez.
All right, I think we're out.
Netflix canceled Daredevil. It will not see a fourth season.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
This
is going to be my next guess.
Yeah. Yeah, sad bassoon indeed. This is... no, they were just tweeting like 3 weeks ago about a fourth season, and everyone was like, oh, maybe this will escape that whole Marvel cutting from Netflix. Because what? Luke Cage, Iron Fist, gone. So people were like, ooh, Jessica Jones, watch your back, girl. But now, no more Daredevil.
Call now.
We don't need anyone to call
too, if you're upset as well. So here's what Netflix said. "We are tremendously proud of the show's last and final season. And although it's painful for the fans, we feel it's best to close this chapter on a high note." No, Netflix! No, it is not! So I need someone to explain to me. Is this all just... I know that Netflix and Marvel have had issues in the past between... They had 13 episodes. They wanted them to cut to 10. Daredevil has had a whole revolving showrunner scene. They've had showrunner issues with all the Marvel shows. Is this them cutting all the Marvel so they then move to the Disney platform? Or do they retain any sort of right in any way?
No, it's all going to Disney.
I think it's Disney, yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, no, they're, because basically what will end up happening is they own the characters, so you can still have them come into the Disney. Like, it would be terrible for Netflix because it would just be advertising the Disney streaming service.
So does that mean when the Disney service gets up and running at the end of next year that they could bring back Daredevil?
Yes.
Or would they have to bring it back in a different form?
No, they could do exactly...
They could do the same show.
Yeah, same way Brooklyn Nine-Nine showed up in a different channel. Like, all people are picking up shows and running with them, yeah, because studios own them and Marvel would own them, and now they could put them on Disney.
All right, so you just it's Makes just it's pressing pause rather than
well, that's the hope. Yeah.
It better
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're they good. Already you're have Jessica Jones and Punisher awaiting their next season on Netflix, so no word on if those are just going to be scrapped totally.
I wouldn't buy a vacation home if I worked on those shows.
But though I think Punisher's already done. It's in the can.
Yeah, well I'm saying moving on. Like as far as new production, I you know, I would
Was Daredevil
probably...
your favorite, Allie?
Yes, Daredevil. I love Daredevil so much.
I'm sorry I watched it, but I fell asleep.
Okay, that's not even true. There's no way you fall asleep during Daredevil. If so, get checked. Something is wrong with your ticker and your soul and your genitals.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Listen, I'm like I said, I'm very upset. And then things got so much better when I saw a tweet about a pretty substantial rumor that when I read it, I was like, well, this makes so much sense. The world needs this right now. Tom Hanks is reportedly in talks to play Geppetto.
Yay!
The puppet, the puppet daddy to Pinocchio. He made Pinocchio. You guys, Geppetto.
What?
He's everything that's good in the world.
I can't.
What sound does he make again? Mur, mur, mur.
And the guy that did all the Paddington films, he's directing, Paul King.
You don't care about that.
Everyone cares about Geppetto and Pinocchio.
I absolutely do not care.
Oh, is that true? You guys,
you
really?
You guys don't care, do you? See, they don't care.
I don't.
Really?
I mean, I do kind of want to see it, but then you said puppet daddy, and now I'm super creeped out. So,
who's your puppet daddy?
I just don't care at all.
No? So you don't care about Aladdin? You don't care about Lion King?
I definitely don't think I care about the either. No. These live-action things? Not really, no.
Dumbo?
That I really don't, because
did you see it?
It was fine, but it was like, it's kind of the same movie. Does that make any sense to you?
No, yes. because did you see the trailer for Dumbo?
Yes. They have a shot where it looks like Dumbo's a juggalo. He's got like clown makeup on.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, it'd be the best.
If that was the storyline I would watch.
Now that's a different movie. Dumbo becomes a Dumbo juggalo.
I like it.
Oh, I just pitched that, and I think I got a deal.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When Tim Burton is doing Dumbo and you say it looks just like Dumbo, get your eyes checked, dudes. Get your soul checked. Get your genitals checked.
Number one, I don't know where that plays into it, because you've done that twice now.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I will say, I didn't care about Alice in Wonderland. He did that.
Okay.
He just remakes the movies and they do them in live action color. I don't know. Do you? Am I alone? No.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care.
It's the same movie.
That's not to say if it comes out and it gets word of mouth or whatever, maybe I'll go.
Maybe.
Sure, but I'm not excited now about it. No.
It's hurtful, and I don't know who these people are.
Okay. I don't want to see The Simpsons as humans. Like, I'd leave them as cartoons. Like, I want to keep them cartoons.
Well, you're obviously about keeping people where they are, keeping your finger right on top of them so they don't change or grow. And I think that's a problem that maybe we can address off the air, Jensen.
I'll meet you in the office.
Okay. Some birthdays for you. Ben Stiller, Kaley Cuoco, Gael Garcia Bernal. Oof. Chrissy Teigen, Steve Aoki, Ryan Murphy. Did I say Billy Idol?
No. Just now.
Billy Idol, you guys. Happy birthday.
I need y'all to roll. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:24.
That song is 14 years old already, you guys.
That is hard to believe.
It is hard to believe.
Sounded good,
sounds real good. Yeah. Hey, Kevin and Bean Show here. Bill Burr joins us next hour in studio. Always excited to have Mr. Burr on the program. Also, we're giving away tickets to see Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, and all the rest at night one of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. So stand by to win those. Plus, we'll throw in the Bud Light backstage passes as well. I know you guys saw this story yesterday of this woman who was very unhappy with the way Southwest Airlines treated her daughter as they were trying to board a flight. The mom is 100% in the right here. The Southwest Airlines employee is 100% in the wrong. We all agree on that before we get into the specifics of it, right?
That's my view, yeah.
Same.
Allie? Okay. All right. Let's find out.
All right.
Story.
For a Texas woman and her 5-year-old daughter, a Southwest Airlines flight home turned into a social media nightmare. Tracy Redford says her daughter's unique name caught the attention of a Southwest Airlines gate agent. This is Absidy, but her name is spelled ABCDE.
All right, Allie, your thoughts?
Your mom's an asshole. Your mom is a complete and utter piece of crap for doing that to you, knowing that everywhere you go, people are going to be like, Absidy, what is that? Well, it's spelled ABCDE. Oh, really? That's the only reason she named her that, was to get a response from people.
Yeah, probably. I agree.
You don't think she liked the name?
I think she liked people that went, oh, my God, that's so weird. That's so unique. That's so crazy.
I think it's a look at me as a parent.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
Would it surprise you guys to know that there are hundreds of people, girls, in the United States named Absidy?
It would, because I always thought that this was an urban legend.
Me too.
I always thought it was, oh, I taught a student named Absidy. No, you didn't. No one did. It's just a story that keeps going.
But a friend of mine heard from...
Had you always heard that it was Ab City? Because I believe the pronunciation of ABCDE is crazy in this situation. Like, did
what
you,
should it be?
Well, I don't know. Oh. That's, I always heard that there were kids named ABCDE, but I just was like, how would you even say that?
Right.
But Ab City, has that always been the way that you've heard it pronounced?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, Ab City, yeah.
Because I like that name.
Ab City?
Kind of.
Does it make a difference to you guys in the reaction that this woman, again, we're all saying the Southwest Airlines lady who mocked a child is wrong.
Yes.
But does it make a difference in your opinion, Allie, if you find out that this name is way more common than you thought and there are hundreds of people with that
name? It makes me more upset that there's hundreds of assholes naming their kids Absidy.
The earliest, I did some research on this yesterday.
All right.
The earliest compilation of baby names, people names, really, in the United States goes back to the census of 1850 through 1860.
That's my favorite decade.
There were 10 Absidies in between 1850 and 1860. The name goes back that far. And as of 2014, there were 328 women in the United States
that
named Absidy.
That is shocking.
328 as of 2014. I don't know if it's up or down since then.
Wait, you said women. Are there any men?
No, it's a girl's name.
Huh.
It's a girl's name.
Clearly, name, Kevin. Clearly.
Yeah, I should know that. Yeah.
And apparently it's very popular in Hawaii. Apparently Hawaii has the most of them for some reason, which is odd because in the Hawaiian alphabet, some of those letters don't even exist. Huh. You know, like the B is not even a Hawaiian letter. But anyway, let's hear some more about what happened to poor little Absidy.
The gate agent started mocking my child's name, laughing, pointing at me and my daughter, and talking to other employees. So I turned around and just said, like, hey, I can hear you. So if I can hear you, my daughter can, too. Like, I'd appreciate if you just stop.
Right. Well, let the daughter on and then mock the mom endlessly.
Yeah, once they walk away. Absolutely. Right. No, the gate agent is wrong in this. Absolutely. You don't mock a child. It's awful.
Not the child's fault at all. Absidy had just better get used to it because this is going to be the rest of her life.
Buckle up, Absidy.
How old is Absidy?
Five.
I do know a kid who has a sort of goofy kind of, like name.
Mm-hmm.
If you say Lamangelo, I swear to God.
No.
Okay.
A goofy name, and she's about 7 or 8, and at school she started asking on her own to be called her middle name, which is Kathleen.
Right.
So the child can make a decision eventually to be like, listen, my parents are idiots.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Absidy for the rest of my life.
Not normally five, so it's going to take her another
3 years.
But
three,
what if
four
her
years.
Middle name is FGHIJK?
Well, then...
Do we know?
Honestly.
We actually don't.
Fidget.
Southwest Airlines has issued a statement. We extend our sincere apology to the family. We take great pride in extending our Southwest hospitality to all of our customers, which lives by the golden rule, blah, 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 blah. So that's the story of Absidy. So you say the Southwest Airlines agent is wrong, definitely, but you're not letting the mom off the hook.
No, the mom is the idiot here.
Yeah.
I kind of like the name. I just don't like the spelling. We don't think Absidy's a weird name, right? Like, that's fine.
I think it's a weird name.
Yeah, it's
especially if it's spelled ABCDE.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's stupid. But my name is Jensen. I have a unique name. Not a lot of people have that.
Yeah, but that's not just the first letters of the alphabet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's true.
I may be a little bit more on the mom's side because I've been calling, when I lift my shirt up, Absidy for years.
Oh, my God.
Got a brand new Internet Roundup also for you coming up just after 7 a.m. And then Bill Burr here on K-Rock. Hey, Muggs.
Hey, Muggs is in here.
Okay, sure. Let's just get right past that. Muggs is invited.
All right.
We're going to get into Cheers with Beer Mug in a moment, but Muggs is actually going to be, along with the rest of his B-Team co-hosts from their podcast, is going to be doing an event next week that we wanted to mention.
Yeah, this is a really awesome event. It's Thursday before the weekend of Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas No Bust Blackjack Tournament at the Hollywood Park Casino.
No Bust?
No Bust.
You can go.
Oh,
wow.
My God. That was really well done.
You should go to...
I really liked it.
You should go to HR, though.
Oh, wow. She will. Don't worry. Okay. She's keeping a running list. All right, so Blackjack, we play Blackjack with you guys.
Yeah, with Dave and myself. Omar is going to be on the ones and twos. And if you want to win a pair of seats, you can enter for your chance over at krock.com. At the end of the tournament, the top five finalists will win a pair of K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas tickets and a share of $4,000 cash money.
What?
Yeah.
That's the best kind of cash.
Yeah. Right? Cash money.
All right, go to K-Rock.com for all the details.
Yep.
What'd you do on Cheers with Beer Mug this week?
The topic this week with Cheers with Beer Mug was, what would be the one thing you'd be most embarrassed by somebody finding in your room after you died? And that is a mouthful to say, and I don't know how I got it right every time I ask somebody this, but
really?
We had what? Some...
But you did, which is crazy.
We had some great answers always on this edition of Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What do you...
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
Words are hard.
Right? Yeah. Mugs, I'm not happy with...
Me?
The lack of drinking in this one.
Really?
No, really?
I mean, you sound... pretty sharp.
Does that mean my tolerance is?
I don't know, or you drank less. I don't know.
I thought I was feeling a good buzz. Okay. I don't know.
All right, here we go.
JoJo, what would be the one thing you'd be most embarrassed about them finding in your room after you died?
In my room, you're gonna find rags.
Oh.
My bank account. Don't tell my mom. And listen to me, Mr. Kevin and Mr. Bean.
How dare you?
You guys are my best friends in my head, so don't you tell my mom. What? That there's some big... I pretend like I don't have no money.
What's the deal?
She's got a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh,
so her mom must be giving her some.
She has it stashed in her room?
Yeah, in her dresser drawer. And she always... Her mom gives her money because she's always saying, I don't have enough. But she's rolling.
Wow.
She's rolling.
That's right, a pretty good secret move. No one will ever find out about it.
Right.
That would be my most... I would be most afraid of that. Because I lied. And I don't like lying. Because I'm a Christian.
Katie, what would be the one thing you'd be most embarrassed about them finding in your room after you died?
My old cell phone.
Why? Why your old cell phone?
There's a lot of bad things on old cell phones. So there's either old texts, old pictures.
For some weird reason, there's always been this big jar of coconut oil next to my fleshlight. And I just don't move it. Mom, if you're listening, that you didn't hear that.
Oh, dear.
Do we need that?
Sorry. No.
I appreciate his honesty. I will tell you, you will remember this, Kevin, that Corolla had a business plan that he used to talk about all the time, where he was going to start a company where you would sign up while you were still alive, and then in the event of your death, a team would go in.
That'd be a cleaner team.
Yes.
Forensically, they would remove all the porn from all of your devices and anything you had hidden in your room so that your mom wouldn't find it. I always thought that's a genius idea.
Brilliant.
That is pretty good.
What about your auto blow? Do you have coconut oil for that?
I'm going to have to plead the fifth on that one.
Give me a shot.
Oh.
I mean,
so you don't edit this at all?
Yeah, you had to keep that in.
Well, Kevin was concerned that I wasn't drunk enough, so.
Well, I'm saying you don't sound drunk so far, really, do you?
He just gagged on a shot.
That was the worst shot of whiskey I've ever taken in my life.
Really, we couldn't tell. Should I play it again, or are we
sure,
good?
Sure, let's hear it one more time.
Let's go, move on.
That time I really almost threw up into the microphone. I'm here with Dustin. Dustin, what would be the one thing you'd be most embarrassed about somebody finding in your room after you died?
At this point in time right now, I really don't have anything too embarrassing in my room.
You talked to John C. Reilly?
How about most proud of, then?
I would say the most proud of would be any of the pictures that I have of my daughter and I, or just my daughter, as she is the most important thing in my life.
Aww. Well, you win the Best Person in O'Grady's Award tonight because I didn't think my emotional heartstrings could be tugged at this bar, but they were.
Well, awesome.
Francis, what would be the one thing you'd be most embarrassed about somebody finding in your room after you died?
I'm sorry, what?
Now he's drinking. Now.
Probably the pocket I got from that sex shop. My mom's going to find it in my room when I die. Maybe tonight. I might die tonight. Now she's going to find it.
Oh, my God. That is awesome. That is awesome.
That's why I took that shot.
Yeah, you did.
Should have taken it earlier. That's all.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 10 till 7.
Are you eating something?
Nope. I just slurred like I normally do.
Oh, you're drinking
something.
I sound
drunk 24/7.
So okay. All right.
I might as well drink.
Yeah. Right. What's the point? Hey, it's 6:50. Allie's here with another look at what's happening. And then maybe the finest comedian working today, you guys. Bill Burr joins us in studio here on K-Rock.
Well, that's going to be hurtful because I'm giving away tickets to Jim Jefferies right now.
Oh, I mean, except for Jim Jefferies.
What I meant.
It depends on who's listening right now.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. If Jim's listening, he's the funniest. Mm-hmm. If Bill's listening in the other room, then he's the funniest.
I think Jim is the best Australian working today.
Good.
And I think Bill Burr is the best American working
Jim
today.
Jim Jefferies says no.
All right, Jim. Sorry about that. So if you want a pair of tickets to see Jim Jefferies, the Night Talker Tour at the Theater at Ace Hotel, April 5th, 2019. Give a call right now. We'll take caller 10, 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to see Jim Jefferies April 5th. Not bad, right?
So worth it. So good.
So worth it. So good indeed. You guys, do you remember back in October when Chris Evans said on Twitter that he had completed filming on Avengers 4 and seemed to be done playing Steve Rogers in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yeah, he was stepping away.
He was just, mm-hmm. He was bummed about it. And Twitter, of course, lost their mind because then they were trying to figure out, well, does that mean Avengers Infinity War sequel, you're not coming back for that? Like, are you dead after that? Do you die in that? What happens? So here's where it gets really a little bit muddy. So, director Joe Russo wound up saying to the Associated Press after a special screening that he said that Evans wasn't actually done playing the scrawny Brooklyn kid turned muscly hero. He said, quote, "I think it was more emotional for him than us, only because he's not done yet. I won't explain what that means, but the audience will soon understand what I'm talking about." Wait.
What does all of that mean?
I don't know.
Kevin, we count on you to keep the Marvel Universe straight for us.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of questions up after the last Avengers, which is going to be answered in the upcoming Avengers.
Right, but if he had finished wrapping filming on that one and was kind of alluding to the fact that it was done.
Well, because maybe he doesn't have to do any new footage. Maybe they've picked up all the things they're going to need.
I don't know.
They'll use him in the movies, but he doesn't have to film it. He's done. You're welcome.
All right. Okay, Jensen, I don't hate it. That is very possible. You guys, this sounds like a night. Carson Daly has got some of his famous pals to hang out with him as he hosts New Year's Eve from New York City's Times Square on December 31st. Chrissy Teigen is co-host, and Leslie Jones. Oh, God.
Can I ask you guys a question? Have any of you ever wanted to be in Times Square for that?
No.
No. Never.
Right?
Especially like when you think about what time they get there, the fact that they can't pee.
A lot of the people have to stay there all day.
All day.
It's also so cold.
It's freezing.
So freezing.
But the only reason to go there is if you're hammered. And if you're hammered and can't move to pee at any point, no. How do people not get killed?
Just stay right there. Take care of business.
You just pee?
Oh, yeah. Right. And it becomes solid immediately.
Oh, yeah. That is disgusting.
It looks like the worst. I don't know how a million people do it every year.
I don't either.
Asleep by 10. That's my motto.
That's your motto for New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Why
do you stay up so late, Jensen?
Yes, true. That is my late because it's New Year's Eve.
So you stay up to see maybe the East Coast celebrate, then you're like, I'm good.
Yeah, even if I could get the Australia one in earlier and fall asleep, I'm down.
Like 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. You guys, don't worry about anything because Pete Davidson has returned to Instagram, you guys.
That's great news. What's that like?
Oh, wow.
You're still not reinstated, Kevin?
No.
Have you heard anything from
him? No. That's the frustrating thing.
Nothing.
Just radio silence.
Yep.
Nothing.
Not a word? I mean, not a thing.
Like no email.
I got one email at the very beginning saying, email us a picture, blah, 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 with this information. And then nothing else. Nothing. I did that probably about 30 times now. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped. I just have given up.
You keep showing your ears?
I've just given up. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, the fact that you had to take a picture with a piece of paper in front of you with a code on it, had to show both hands on the piece of paper and show your ears.
Okay, I went back and
checked.
Someone
was punking you.
I went back and checked out on that. I looked at the email. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to fake being somebody else.
Sure.
So they want to make sure that they can see both your hands holding it, handwritten on a piece of paper.
Right.
Then I watched a bunch of YouTube tutorials, and about three of them said they got
an email back saying that they needed to see both of their ears. So it's
this
not an email to me.
Life.
I'm not positive
the next
either.
Email. The next email said, show us your feet. Which
right? Exactly.
Then I started to get nervous that I'm not emailing with Instagram.
So like 30 emails later, I've heard wow. nothing. So
do you think the ears thing is just so that it is a head-on
probably
video, or, yes. or photo?
It's so there's no Photoshop face on it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm out. I mean, I've given it a good try, right?
Okay.
Well,
you have.
I've given it a good try.
But
so.
we need
hashtag
your voice.
Free Kev Dog,
though. I'll yeah. live.
You will.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
All right.
I have a life and stuff and things to do and people to
where
meet.
Where am I going to get my unauthorized UFC video clips?
So, you know when people go on these talk shows and they pretend that
you didn't tell us about Pete Davidson. Was that the whole story?
That was the whole
back
story.
Okay,
who cares?
All right, sorry.
You go on these talk shows and they act like everything isn't totally written out ahead of time. Like,
right.
here's what you're going to talk about. Here's what I will talk about. I want to get this joke in, that type of thing. Well, they apparently did that last night with Claire Foy, because boy did Jimmy Fallon surprise her by saying, there's a weird rumor on the internet saying that you know all the words to the Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight. And she's like, oh no, I couldn't do it. And then the audience went, yeah, ugh, do it. And then she
Fallon.
Was handed the mic. And
the
then
worst.
The Roots started playing a beat. Like, it was crazy. This article even says she seemed caught off guard by the request. Ugh. No, ugh. She wasn't.
Come on.
Let me guess.
Stop
Jimmy Fallon laughed uncontrollably at one of her stories, too.
I will be shocked if he doesn't join in
I can't
on Rapper's
stand
Delight.
Him.
He's the worst.
Okay.
All
and
right.
it's not just because I'm friends with Jimmy, right?
No.
You
no,
think
no,
he's
no.
the worst, too?
Yes,
okay.
he's a hack. He's,
right.
he's like,
that's what I think.
Everything is like, oh, and then I fell down the stairs. Did you break your neck? Yes.
Also, they present him like he's 13 or
yeah.
14.
He's
they
like
always do those little promos where he's like wearing a little hat with the...
He's a boy.
Yeah, it's
Listen,
ridiculous.
We all know you're team Kimmel.
Okay.
We
all
get
right.
it.
All right.
I'm team Conan.
Okay, fine.
And anyone that team Jimmy Fallon is just a loser.
Correct.
This we know.
Uh-huh.
But right now, some Claire Foy.
I said a hip-hop, the hippie to the hip-hip-hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bam-bam boogie. Say up jumps the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. Me, the group, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello to the black, the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first I gotta bam bang to the boogie, say up to the boogie,
to the
bam bam. Come on, pressure hoses,
come on,
this weekend.
I'm 9 years old.
I love that Claire Foy.
I know you do. She will, of course, be hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. Guys.
Yes?
I don't know anyone that doesn't know the words to Sugar Hill
yeah,
Gang.
It seems a little...
Like, it's just...
Let me guess. You know Juicy also. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
But everyone should know Juicy.
No, that's what I mean.
That's what he's
like,
saying.
It's
yeah.
like, you know, it's an easy song. I mean, it's the one we all know.
So we hate Claire Foy is what we're saying.
No, I like it. I
okay,
just,
all
it's
right.
A,
no.
It's a cheap Jimmy bit. It's a cheap Jimmy bit.
Yeah, it's a lousy setup bit from
yeah.
Fallon.
We sound so angry.
So angry. Good one, Allie. Dweeb.
You guys, Mariah Carey just trying to post an Instagram pic of her 7-year-old twins, Moroccan and Monroe, singing her 1994 hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You. But people saw that they were all in a car that was moving and none of them were wearing seat belts.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Womp, womp.
Oops.
That's
so,
not cool.
Yeah, people were like, seat belts save lives, not to be a downer. Teach them how to fasten their seat belts, and you too. But most people were just excited to hear the Grammy winner and her backup singers rock and roll performing together. As one woman gushed in the comments, I keep on liking this just so I can press a like button again.
Oh my God.
Oh boy. Is that Jimmy Fallon who left the comment?
It's so bad, you guys.
I didn't realize how hardcore the Mariah fans were. Mm. What are they called, Jensen? They have a name too, the Mariah fans.
Psychopaths?
That may be it.
Yeah.
I think that's it. When her album came out, man, the internet was just flooded with the people standing her. I mean, they love Mariah.
Oh, I love that you just used standing her in like a normal situation. Mm-hmm. Being.
Did you?
He did. I love it.
My butthole clenched. I was visibly upset if you were looking at my butthole.
Well,
I mean, no one
was.
Bill Burr just turned around and left.
I mean, because no one can blame him. Stan in everyday conversation. He should leave. All right, some birthdays for you. Kaylee Cuoco, Chrissy Teigen, Steve Aoki, Ryan Murphy, Ben Stiller.
Look who got up in the middle of the night to be here on the Kevin and Bean Show bright and early, you guys. Comedian, actor, writer, producer, Bill Burr.
Hey.
With us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Bill.
How are you?
You seem wide awake today. I thought you'd be dragging this early.
Nah, you know, I grew up, I had a paper route, and I got a kid now, so I would probably, I got up maybe like an hour earlier than I normally do.
Right? I had a paper route, too, and I quit it when a dog chased me and bit my ankle.
Oh, see, what
I go for you?
I brought a treat the next day.
Oh,
and the
smart dog
came up, and I just, big German Shepherd, I just threw it and went after that, and then every day I just brought one. And
that's a terrible job.
Yeah.
The paper route.
I didn't
mind
it. No, it was a great
paper
job.
Route. Two bean?
Yeah, I had a paper route. I didn't mind it at all.
Man, taught you about, I always had money. I had no overhead.
That's true.
Right? No debt, no credit card debt, no ex-wives or anything like that. You just, like football cards and,
sure.
You know, getting a candy bar every once in a while.
Kids, a paper route used to be a thing when there was a paper. Uh-huh. It was actually on a piece of...
Why would you print out tweets or stories from the internet, though, Kevin? I don't understand.
It's a different world now.
Bill, is your life a great deal different having a child? And the reason I ask you specifically is everybody's life changes, obviously, when they become a parent. But because of the kind of work you do and the traveling and everything that you do, has it changed a lot having a baby?
I travel differently. I don't go out for as long. Definitely FaceTiming all the time. But as far as, like, you know, seeing the world differently, maybe. I mean, somebody cuts me off in traffic, you know, occasionally I'll think, that's somebody's kid.
Wow.
You know, like, maybe.
You softened just a little.
No, if I you know, beep at somebody, I pull up next to them. It's more if they're older. I go, that's somebody's mom. That's somebody's grandmother. I can't believe I just did that. But other than that, you know, I'm
pretty
still,
much the same.
Yeah. I think a lot of that is, like, overrated, and I think parents try to compete with each other with these, you know, going on and on about how much they changed, and, like, I don't even look at butterflies the same way anymore, and blah, blah. It's, you know what it is. Human beings, it's like we're self-involved, or maybe I'm so self-involved I'm putting that on everybody else, but it's just like...
Oh, no, I think you're right.
I think you're right, too. You know, you meditate, you get everything into, man, and everything's all groovy and all that, and then, the first thing that goes wrong, you know, you go to click on a website, it doesn't load, you're like, what's going on? You just flip out again.
Now, I don't want to, please stop me if I'm getting too personal here, but your plan was to wait until you were practically a senior citizen to have a baby?
Why do you always got to come at me?
That's
like
how
that?
He
no,
does.
I
don't mean to be like, just be a jerk.
That's how he does.
Stop putting your hands up, you passive aggressive pansy.
I'm just saying.
Every time I come in here, you just can't be a man about it. I get it. I'm sorry I'm selling tickets on the road, and I'm sorry I did it perfectly. I'm sorry I made the dream come true before I got saddled with a marriage and a kid and ended up unloading trucks for the rest of my life in a warehouse. I did it perfectly.
Let me rephrase the question.
Don't, you dick.
Unbelievable.
Just let it go.
Good Lord.
You're 50, though, which is an unusual time to have a first child. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but if you look at the population problem, what I did was perfect. Because by the time my kid's like, you know, 25, 30, I'll be out of there. You know what I mean? So that's
why. Okay, so, yeah. You mean dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And me and my wife are two people, and we just made one. So we cut ourselves in half, and we'll both be out of there. So, like, what is the problem? What is the problem now?
I got no problem with that. No problem at all. When your kid is 20, it'll be 150
degrees in
America.
He always says, hey, you know, it's great. You got up early. He always gives this soft thing, and then, boom. That's
the way
it is. But
here's what I love. He does that to everybody.
I know.
And very few people actually call him on it.
Yeah,
and I love that.
I feel bad for the woman, man, or they in his life, whatever you're supposed to say now. I really do. It's the ride. It's the ride you get on. No, baby, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Pulls you back in. And you think, oh, maybe this roller coaster goes a different way. No, it's on tracks, dude. It's the same ride.
Learning something about myself today here. Thanks, Bill. You got a lot of stuff going on right now.
What other passive-aggressive thing do you want to ask me?
I adore you, Bill, and bring me back.
Hey, let's get on the ride again.
See how it works?
Here we go. Going back up the hill.
You're proving Bill's point.
Come on, you guys. Should I just sit this one out? Would that make everyone happy?
Oh, no, I'm enjoying
now
this
he's playing
more.
The victim. Oh, I'll just take my microphone and go home. You're not even here.
Kevin, why don't you ask a question?
Tell us about F is for Family. Season 3 today.
Yes, F is for Family. Season 3 on Netflix comes out today. It's another 10 episodes. The Murphy family continues on. If you guys have watched, if you haven't seen F is for Family yet, it's based loosely, very loosely on my childhood. And it just came from telling childhood stories on stage and finding that people, everywhere from millennials and whatever they're called now.
I don't know what they're called now.
Yeah, no, everybody. I thought millennials were still in college. They're aged 24 to like 38, believe it or not.
Oh, hmm. Are they Xennials now? Is that the new one?
I don't know what... It's something aggressive. I forget. It was a cool name for a generation. But anyways, I've just been telling those stories, and everybody, as much as they're acting like the world has changed, everybody's been able to relate to that stuff. So
I love the show, by the way. No joke and no backhanded compliment here. I think it's hilarious. I love that it's set in the 70s, first of all, because even though it's animated, it's just so funny to see, people smoking everywhere and stuff like that. It's entertaining on that. But I also am astonished by the voice talent you get on this, Bill, and I wanted to know how you line up these crazy names to be on your show.
Well, a couple reasons. I got in business with Vince Vaughn, his production company, Wild West, so that brought a lot of credibility. And then our showrunner is the great Mike Price from The Simpsons. So what happened was we wrote a killer pilot. And how it works out here is to get it into the bigger people's hands, you need to get that first big person to sign on. And I believe it was either Justin Long or Sam Rockwell.
You got one of those, yeah, and then people started paying
Vince
attention?
Vince was friends with those guys and done movies and stuff with them, and then so they signed on to do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, Sam Rockwell is attached. So then then you can kind of move up the actor ladder.
And it's sort of shocking that if you write a great pilot for a great show, that's not enough to even get anyone's attention.
No, you
have to get some names.
It can create buzz and stuff. So I think there was a little bit of buzz about the script, and then we got a name attached. It's like it's like opening a nightclub. If the beautiful girls are down there, then it's going to be good.
Right, but then when you watch TV, you go, I heard Bill describe what it's like to get a show on, and then you watch other shows, and you go, how in the world did they make it through that whole process without maybe knowing someone?
Yeah, but a lot of that could be just that show's just not for you, because it's on the air, so it's probably doing well on some level.
I don't think that's true. There's shows that suck.
There's definitely shows that suck. But that's also your personal preference, because then you'll run into somebody that has a T-shirt and all the merch from the show. I love that show. How could you say that? That's life how it is. So,
here's the answer, by the way. Generation Z is people born from the mid-90s to the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Born since the year 2010 is Generation Alpha. Those are the children of
that's a cool one.
Generation Alpha is a cool one.
I like that.
Hey, one more F is for Family thing before we take a break and come back with the great Bill Burr. And that is, the Murphy family dog is named Major on the show, right? Joe Biden just got himself a German Shepherd and named him Major. I was wondering if you think the former Veep is an F is for Family fan.
That would be cool, but that's based on my grandfather on my dad's side. He had a dog named Major. So like I said, it's just little things. When I did the show, I didn't want my family to be mortified that I put all our dirty laundry out there.
Right.
So if my family sits down and watch it, specifically my parents, if they could ever figure out how to do, turn on Netflix, which they can't. I've never seen it.
They've never seen your show.
No. There's they'll see elements of there's a few things that Frank says or a few mannerisms that are my dad. But a lot of it's, Mike Price's dad, Dave Richardson, Emily Towers,
trying not to pin it down to them specifically, so then they'll get their feelings hurt.
Yeah, because I respect the fact that I was the one stupid enough to get on a stage and be, hey, this is my name and this is what I look like. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because there is, as cool as it is to do that, there is an element of that privacy and stuff that you lose in that thing. So I feel like it's a personal choice, which is also why I don't do jokes about my kid on stage.
Interesting.
Send your parents a DVD, though. Give them a chance to see the show. I think they'll like it.
Oh, they don't even know if I could get that. I don't think there's a DVD player over at Netflix. Can't you burn us a copy? They're like, we stream globally.
Right, exactly. F is for Family Season 3 available starting today on Netflix. We'll also talk about the movie that Bill's in right now and the stand-up that he just did at Madison Square Garden and so much more with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. I'm telling you, the show that Bill Burr does off the air, you guys, is a real treat to hear.
It's the one he does on stage as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The great Bill Burr, comedian, actor, producer. He does it all back in studio.
Former
with us here on
paper rootist.
Former paper rootist, yeah. We talked about F is for Family on Netflix, season 3, starting today. By the way, you know, I'm sure you've seen this in your Twitter feed, Bill. You already have people who have binge-watched the entire season, stayed up all night watching it.
That's
sure
right. That's my favorite thing. It takes us well over a year to make it, and then they just shotgun it.
You know? 6 hours, they're done.
Like, hey, when's the next one coming out? It's like, I don't know, man. You got to give me a year.
You have a film in theaters right now called The Front Runner, which I don't think has gotten the attention that it deserves. But based on the fact that the story is so fascinating and a lot of people won't know it or remember it, and the fact that your cast is incredible in this with Hugh Jackman and J.K. Simmons and Vera Farmiga and you and Alfred Molina and so much more. Tell us what The Front Runner is all about.
Well, first of all, it's the perfect movie for this time. It's the Gary Hart story, and it is about... this candidate, Gary Hart, who was the front runner in 1988 after Reagan had done 8 years, and he was looking like the candidate that was going to win it. And for the first time ever, mainstream media went into the personal life of a politician's life, and they discovered that he was having an affair, and his whole campaign flamed out. And I remember it being like 6 weeks, 2 months. It was a week.
Wow.
He was going to be the next guy, good-looking guy. You know the deal. It was 8 years of a Republican, so now it's like, let's talk to the guys with the blue ties, right?
And he was very charismatic, young, Kennedy-esque, and people they loved him.
Had great ideas.
And that's the first time mainstream media went into the scandal part of it?
Yeah, and that's what fascinated me about when I was reading the script was the Miami Herald that blew it up, and they had this big conversation like, we can't do this. If we do a story like this, we'll be like the Inquirer or the Star. Like, we do news. This is like nobody's business. And basically that happened and just got rid of a great candidate. And what's crazy about it was like 4 years later, along comes Clinton, who just had a zillion of those scandals, and he was just like, yeah, man, I hooked up with all of them. Want to hear me play the sax? And he just plowed through it. And I always pictured Gary Hart sitting there going like, you could do that? I didn't know you could do that.
What the hell?
But it really, like, the some of the people that have been weighing in on it, of course, I don't know their names, but, like, you know, super intelligent people, we're talking about how that switch in media really changed this country, both for the right and the left, in that there's a lot of super intelligent people out there that...
who would be good leaders.
Who then decided, I'm not going to put my family through that. Because everybody's made mistakes, and it's just like... Just the fact that I'm even looking for it or suggesting, and not forget about the internet, where there's like no libel, you can just say anything about anybody.
Right.
And they get into your kids' lives and all of that type of stuff, that it really hurt this country, both on the left and the right.
I agree. I remember when people were trying to get General Powell to run, Colin Powell to run, and a lot of people on both sides of the aisle thought, this is a guy who would be great. And he said at the time, he says, I'm not going to put my family through it. It's just not worth it. So, because he had seen what the politics and journalism had become.
Yep.
I don't blame somebody for not wanting to run for office at this point.
No,
I
people really on the don't. Internet would have wrote a bunch of racist things and tried to find out where his family was and just put him through all that, and it's terrible. And the only way to change it would be if regular people like us didn't pay attention to it, and, you know, because it's all about money and that type of thing. So
we should be deciding what's important and what's not important.
Yeah, right. And we all know that we're not going to do that.
Correct.
Because we're a bunch of donut-eating, sports-watching jackasses, which is why we don't run the country. But all these super smart people that should be doing it, we should do them a solid and stay out of their personal lives, because, you know, that isn't any of your business, and human beings are inherently flawed, so everybody's going to have something like that. So then it becomes, you got to have somebody that not only is smart, they also have the, I don't know, the personal strength to go through it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Gary Hart's still alive. Has he made any kind of comment? Has he seen the movie? Have you talked to him?
Dude, I have like 8 lines in the movie, you know? I was lucky to talk to the craft service person.
Okay, all right. Has he seen the movie? Do you know? Has he commented on it?
Yes, he has seen the movie. And what was the name of the woman that he hooked up with?
Donna Rice.
Donna Rice. Yeah. She saw it. They all really enjoyed. You know, Donna Rice thing was handled really well, where it wasn't the way it was handled the first time around. And I guess he really liked it. And from what I also heard, that he was saying that he felt he was set up.
Oh, really?
No, but I mean, it's politics. I mean, that wouldn't be surprising. They're always trying to do stuff like that. Yeah. But I don't know.
So I can't wait to see it. It sounds like a fascinating movie again.
Oh, yeah. And Hugh Jackman and Vera Farmiga and everybody in it is just absolutely
Killer. Incredible, yeah.
And it's called The Front Runner in theaters now.
Yes.
Oh, it's out now. Okay.
Yes, it is. Bill, before we go, you did. You said your favorite 90 minutes of stand-up ever at Madison Square Garden last week, right?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
When are we going to get to see that?
Well, I mean, I didn't film it, so I mean, I recorded it.
So never?
I recorded it, so I'm playing with the idea of how I can put that out, because I am going to be shooting another special next year, so, but I feel like there'd be too much of an overlap with the audio and the actual special as far as material, and I don't want to rip people off, so.
Does that make it so much harder to be a comedian that you burn stuff by putting it out there? And
no,
now you can't do it anymore.
But no, but then that's great.
It's good. Okay.
It's great, yeah, because then you get to talk about new stuff. You get to progress as a person. It only stinks, I think, if, I don't know, for some people, like, material comes a little bit harder, you know?
Yeah.
But fortunately, I'm a long-winded jackass.
You sure
so
are.
I can, yeah.
You've got a lot of thoughts on a lot of things.
You can talk about anything forever. Yeah. That's amazing
and
to me.
And never really make a point.
Well, you do sometimes.
That's how I get people to watch me for an hour. They're like, this has to be leading to something. And by the time they realize it isn't, I'm like, thanks a lot, everybody. Good night. And they're like, damn it, he got me again.
Well, you
thought something interesting was going to happen.
You've always been so generous with your time coming in on the Kevin Bean Show bright and early in the morning. We really, really appreciate it. Before we say goodbye to Bill Burr and wish you a happy holidays, we're going to do 60 seconds with the great Bill Burr. Kevin is going to fire questions at you. First thing that comes to your mind, Bill, just answer it and we'll move on to the next one. Oh, 60 seconds.
This is a dangerous game nowadays.
Is it dangerous? Okay. With you, I think it's going to be fun.
These are easy questions.
Okay.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Lawyer.
What's something people would be surprised to find out about you?
That I like the holidays.
Who's your biggest influence in comedy?
I like the holidays.
Biggest one influence?
If I
had to pick one,
yeah,
it would be Richard Pryor, and specifically when he was taking you down and he almost made you sad and cried, and then he could bring you back to laughing again. I don't know how to do that, but that was the one thing that blew my mind as a fan of comedy.
What advice would you give your teenage self?
Go up to the beautiful girl and just say hi.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Oh, good Lord. I mean, it happens.
I mean, I'm not asking if it happens.
Dogs don't really ask for your permission. Dogs haven't caught up to the Me Too movement yet.
That sounds like a yes to me.
It sounds like you don't have a choice is the answer that Bill gave.
Thank you. Night one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Twisted Christmas is fast approaching. In fact, you guys, I don't want to blow your mind or anything here. It's a week from tomorrow night.
Hey.
What? A week from tomorrow night at the Forum for Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, and all the rest. We'll give you some tickets coming up in about 15 minutes, maybe 20 on the outside. If you want to win those, stick around. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup? Hit it, Steve.
It's the Internet Roundup. We got it from the ground up. It's the Internet Roundup. This'll get you wound up.
Have you ever wanted to see a dog open a door?
Yes!
Well, you don't have to wait anymore. You missed a couple viral things living on the web, so listen, we pulled a couple of clips for you then. These are some memes and songs worth a look that you'll forward to your mother to post on Facebook. Mostly the net is a garbage time suck, but here are some clips that we like very much.
It's the Internet Roundup. We got it from the ground up. It's the Internet Roundup. This'll get you wound up.
Sorry, we're out of time. Is that Muggos' work? He did a fantastic rap for us.
Yeah, that's Muggos. Yeah.
Well done, Muggos.
I'll let him have the credit at this point.
Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer in studio. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thank you.
Good batch of viral videos this week. We start with, I love things you didn't know about. I love that whole series. And they took on the classic Christmas movie Elf, which, by the way, I probably watch more than any other Christmas movie. I don't know about you guys. That's a year-rounder for me, Elf.
It's the modern day classic.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah,
it couldn't be any better. I think it's Will Ferrell's best ever performance. But as many times as I've seen it, they still introduce me to stuff that I didn't know about the movie Elf.
In addition to the candy spaghetti and cotton candy cotton balls, Buddy also drinks an entire liter of Coca-Cola, which is pretty impressive and disgusting. Thankfully, with a little bit of movie magic, Will Ferrell didn't actually have to do that. Practical effects helped out by connecting a tube to the bottle to drain it quickly. But the cool thing here is that the unbelievable burp that Buddy belches is real.
Did you hear that?
The man behind the burp is Maurice LaMarche, the voice of Brain in Pinky and the Brain. All the exterior shots of New York when Buddy first arrives were filmed guerrilla style, with Favreau and Farrell figuring out things Buddy could do or see. All the extras in the scenes were regular people that were just passing by that they asked to film. The scene where he eats gum off the subway entrance also elicited some groans from people passing by. But worry not, that gum was all pre-chewed by Farrell and placed on a thin sheet of plastic to keep it from being truly gross.
Can you imagine walking down the street in New York City one day and here's Will Ferrell in an elf costume just running around doing weird, crazy stuff, going in and out of the buildings and everything and the door around. I mean, that was just, I thought that was fascinating stuff.
Can you imagine being able to burp like that?
Yeah.
I just met that guy.
Shut
the
stunt burper?
You met the Brain? That guy, yeah. Maurice.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Danielle did a signing for a Comic-Con in some city. I forget where we were. And this guy, we meet him downstairs. He wanted to meet the cast of Boy Meets World. And then out of nowhere, he just started doing the Brain voice. And I was like, oh, I think he's here to be a celebrity. He's not just a random fan.
Oh, I would ask him to burp my name.
Why don't we do a burp off?
Yeah, now
burp
I would
off
definitely.
And see who can do the best burp then.
He'd be great.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. Jensen, you had a podcast for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have those difficult transitions that so many podcasters have where they're talking about a serious topic and then they have to get into a commercial for some sponsor?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Where you like have someone in there like, my parents died in a car crash. And then I'm like, listen, Casper mattresses, you got a 10% off. Yeah, no, that happens all the time.
That is exactly what this video is about. And this is not far from the truth.
He dug the scalpel in deep, scraping bone, carving up her insides while she was unconscious. She would never leave the OR. We can't live forever, but you know what does? A website. Build yours today at squarespace.com/death. He had cased the house many times before, but on that particular night, John smashed a window, climbed the stairs, and placed a chloroform rag over Abby's mouth before he abducted her. It could happen anywhere, to anyone, including you. Having trouble sleeping? Try a mattress that's as soft as it is firm. Get yours at Casper.com today for $50 off. Don't forget to use our coupon code. He'll find you and he'll kill you. Yes, you.
How awesome is that? And by the way, Allie, don't you feel like you should be listening to those podcasts? They sound like they're right up your alley.
I totally do.
Right? Yeah. Her name is Avita Lash, by the way, is her name. And she actually is a podcaster. And finally, your hero, Allie, Conan O'Brien, did a very funny segment on his late night show. Apparently, it is true that you can rent a family in Japan.
I wondered if that was true.
It is a
and
true
it
thing.
It is.
Yeah, you just go and you tell them what you're looking for, what your parameters are, and you can rent them to be your family so that you don't have to be alone in Japan, which is a very serious problem with a lot of air. And here he is meeting with the company, talking about the details of his life and the new life he hopes to have with his new family.
My father and I get along pretty well, but I honestly think I could do better. I would like a new father that would apologize for some things that happened between us in the 1970s. Specifically, when he lost his temper in the kitchen because I spilled a bowl of creamed corn. And then he didn't let me watch The Love Boat that night. The wife. What are the boundaries with this woman that I choose? Oh, hug and shake the hands, but no kissing. So just like my current marriage. Wife?
Yes.
She looks very beautiful.
Thank you.
May I ask how old she is?
48.
Oh, 48. It is close to my own age.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a no. Yes. I'm from Los Angeles.
Oh.
And a man my age is required by law to marry a woman who's 25.
You have to see the rest of the video and see the real the family that he adopts, basically, and seems very happy. He
for
may
three
never come
years.
Back from Japan. I'm not sure. Yeah, you have a three-year
contract.
You can
rent it for 3 years.
Yes.
Insane.
Yes. And they haven't even asked the 12-year-old daughter if a three-year contract is okay with her. Which is my favorite part. Great batch of videos. You can find them where you do at krock.com or kevinabean.com. It's brand new Kevin Abean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup. This'll get you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
So we'll give you those tickets for night one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up in about 5 minutes. And don't forget, the great Louis Anderson will be here in the 9 o'clock hour.
This is too much show, by the way.
It's
having Bill Burr already and Louis Anderson still to come? What are we doing?
Remember when Bill Burr took you down? That was sweet.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. Enjoyed that. Allie's here with one of my favorite What's Happenings of the whole week. Friday about this time. What do we do, Allie?
We do something a little different in this What's Happening. We go through and we talk about our picks for Kevin and Bean's That's My Jam playlist. We're going to link it to @KevinandBean on Twitter and on Facebook. All you have to do is click the follow button. And you're going to have new music from everybody on the Kevin and Bean Show on the mic and behind the scenes. We all pick our favorite song that maybe we're into at the moment, or a song that came up on our playlist that we haven't thought about in a while. And That's My Jam is what it's all about. So, Kevin, you are up first.
Mine is the 1975. They have a new album out today called A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships. And I don't know if you guys are like this or not, because it's sort of a weird thing, but I love songs that have choirs in them.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Because I always felt like that's a weird thing about me. But for some reason, I love that. And one of the songs on the new album that's out today is called Sincerity is Scary.
Why can't we be friends when we all have this need always ends with us hating each other?
It's a great song. It's a great album.
Great video, by the way. Sincerity is Scary is a great music video.
I like it a lot. I always say if you can add like a cello or a viola to something, it makes everything infinitely better.
I think you're right.
So that's
that's
your
comedy.
Choir.
Oh, I say that for funerals.
Amen. Yeah. I agree. All right, Bean, you're up next.
Actually, Allie introduced me to this song a couple of days ago, minutes after it was released worldwide. It's the latest from Coldplay, although they're not going by that name. This is their world music version of Coldplay. They go by Los Unidades, which means massive unit, I understand. produced by Pharrell. And one of the reasons I wanted to spotlight this song that is called ELO is that Coldplay is also, Chris Martin is actually one of the organizers of this Global Citizen Festival that's going to be happening Sunday night. Did you guys hear about this?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to be on TV. I know MSNBC is carrying it, maybe on other channels as well, but this is to
celebrate. I go to MSNBC for the best music.
Sure.
I know
this
that.
This is to commemorate Nelson Mandela's 100th birthday. And Kevin, as you know, Nelson Mandela was the guy who created the Mandela effect. That's what he's famous for, is coming up with that. But Coldplay is performing, Beyonce is performing, Jay-Z, Ed Sheeran, Usher, Casey Musgraves, a whole bunch of African artists as well. And Pharrell Williams and Chris Martin will be doing this song as Los Unidades.
Mama Maria, she take my hand down to the Rio floor. Oh, my father, no, my father, and I get told, hey, Papa, he, no, Papa, Papa. Tell other people, go, no.
I totally dig that.
That's a good song.
Love it. Jensen, you're up next.
This was my get up on last week, and it has not left the rotation. A 24-year-old kid named Alec Benjamin, who is a singer-songwriter, and I predict very big things for him. His songwriting is so impressive because he takes very small instances from his own life, writes about them, and makes them feel relatable to anyone listening, which is what I love about songwriters, taking your own experience, making it bigger. This song is called Annabelle's Homework, and it's about a time in school when he would do a girl's homework because he thought it would help him have a relationship with her, and she didn't care at all.
It doesn't matter how many papers are right, end of the equation won't be you and I, and now I'm just another who got hurt doing Annabelle's homework.
I've had that CD, I've had that album that I've been listening to in the car, too, and
he's
really good.
A superstar.
Yeah, you're right.
He's playing the Roxy next week, but it's been sold out since the minute they put it up. So if you can get tickets, I envy you.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I don't want Kevin to turn on Alec Benjamin, but his writing is very Swiftian.
It is Swiftian. At times.
I don't know.
All right, Allie, you're up next.
I don't know.
It's also
what
Billie
that
Eilish-ish. Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish?
Billie-ish-ish.
Anyway.
Billie Eilish adjacent.
Yeah. Love
that. Okay. There you go. My band is a Birmingham, UK trio. Their name is Jaws. I don't know a ton about them, but I heard this song and I was like, oh my God, if John Hughes was still doing movies, and you know how I feel about John Hughes. Well, exactly. There's a reason he's
first
not doing
alive
movies.
And yeah. then still doing movies.
But you know my feeling about all John Hughes movies. They had some of the best soundtracks ever, and there's always these big sweeping motions, and it's just, that's some of my favorite sound. And these three young dudes from Birmingham, UK, seem to have that sound as well. They have a new album coming out in April of next year, but this is the first single off of it. It is Jaws doing Driving at Night.
And I do things that you don't know. It won't ever be the same at home.
Right, Molly Ringwald just running. Andrew McCarthy looking around. Where is she? Judd Nelson pops out of nowhere.
Allie has a rich fantasy life, you guys.
I really do. She does. I love that. It's like one of those songs you put on and then you stare out the window and pretend you're in a music video. You all do it. Don't lie. Don't lie. All right. So those are our picks for this week's That's My Jam. You can find it at Kevin and Bean on both Twitter and Facebook. Just click the follow button. You're going to get all those songs in your ears forever and ever, you guys. Some birthdays for you. Billy Idol, Ben Stiller, Kaylee Cuoco, Chrissy Teigen, Steve Aoki, Ryan Murphy, and Gael Garcia Bernal. And that's what's happening.
All right, we have tickets for night one of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, plus Bud Light Backstage Passes. If you want to call now, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to play an old game sort of with a twist. We'd like to apologize in advance and call now 1-800-520-1067.
Speaking of rock shows, we got one coming up a week from tomorrow night at the Forum. It is sold out, but we want to give away some tickets right now with the Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet, Bad Religion, AFI, and all the rest with a game that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. Christmas, that's what you will win. All you have to do is recall.
Also throw in a pair of Bud Light Backstage Passes as well. Kevin, you said that we were doing a game with a twist. What do you mean?
Well, we're doing Total Recall, where you ask a question, and then we have to name three things. The listeners have to name three things in 10 seconds. But this time, it's us. So a listener will come on the phone, like Jerry from Rancho Palos Verdes is first. So he's going to be on the phone, but he's not going to be asked the question.
Mm. Oh.
One of us is going to play for him, and if we lose... he loses.
Oh, no.
That's cold.
Oh, Jerry.
Right?
That is cold.
It puts a lot of pressure on us, too, because we don't want to be the reason Jerry doesn't come, or at least we haven't listened to anything about Jerry.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right, Jerry, so we're going to spin the wheel here and find out who is going to be playing for you and might win you some tickets to the show. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. By the way, consider yourself lucky that you don't have to do this. This is a tough game.
Right?
Oh, it's
landed on Allie.
Oh,
Allie,
God.
Good news.
All right, Allie.
All right. We have so often, Allie, been on the other side of this game. Mm-hmm. Now let's find out what it's like for you to be playing the game. All right. Question number one, you're playing for Jerry. Smashing Pumpkins are headlining night one of our show. And since pumpkins are orange, I'm going to ask you to name for us three other foods that are also orange. Besides pumpkins, what other foods are orange? Good luck.
Carrots, pumpkin pies, Cheetos.
Boom.
You said three.
I consider pumpkin pie to be pumpkins, by the way.
Squash.
There you go. Well done.
All right.
Yeah,
well done.
She had time within 10 seconds to have an argument about one of the answers and come up with another one.
Jerry, you are one step closer to winning the tickets. Allie has got you in the drawing. Well done, sir.
Oh, pressure on the rest of us. This sucks. All right. Eric in Thousand Oaks. Good morning.
Happy Friday.
No, thank you. Give him the tickets.
We have a winner.
Nope,
all right,
let's
Eric,
go on let's... to Stefan in Riverside.
Don't put Eric back on the line. Let's spin the wheel and find out who's playing for him.
Kevin's like the whammy here. Like, you just don't want to get
the no whammy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Go, Doug.
Go Ducks.
There you go.
Put him on the hole. He won already.
Stefan, next.
Chip, how do you feel you're going to do? You've heard this game played dozens of times.
Oh, hold on. Can you dig for me?
Yeah.
I think I'll be all right. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't want to.
Okay.
All right,
here we go. You're playing for Eric. Third Eye Blind last played Acoustic Christmas 21 years ago this year, back in 1997, if you can believe it. Speaking of blind, Chip, I want you to name three famous blind people. Any three famous blind people, dead or alive, in 10 seconds, go.
The keyboardist for Ex-Ambassadors, Stevie Wonder, and the guy that Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five.
Not famous.
Oh, come on. We don't even know that guy's name.
Yeah. Actually, you didn't give a name.
Can I tell you what's funny is that when I wrote this question, I actually put the guy from Ex-Ambassadors.
I gotta tell you.
Not knowing two of their names does make me question if they're famous, for the record.
You guys all know them.
I mean, 100%. Honestly, I think we're going to take that.
Right. I think we're going to take it,
go
too. There could have been Ray Charles, Roddy Millsap, Helen Keller. There are others, but I think you got the big three, so well done, Jeff.
All right, Stefan in Riverside, good morning.
Good morning.
The guy Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five is one of the top three
of famous five people of all time, absolutely. All right, let's find out who's going to be playing for Stefan here.
And it is the King of Mexico.
The game!
Boy.
All right.
Let's go, King of Mexico.
Yeah, it's not going to
work. I love that it's Stefan. Dave, because no one Jack smack Stefan. Talks more about our games than Dave does.
Is your name Stefan or Steven?
It's Stefan.
Okay, Jack. Stefan. All right, sorry.
All right, Dave, you ready to play?
Stefan, maybe?
Stefanovic?
Can Dave
ready.
Not hear you?
I was Dave's born
he
ready.
Can hear you. He's okay. Just being Dave.
I was okay. Born ready to play. Let's go.
All right. Playing for Stefan. Here we go. This is an easy one. Bad Flower is a band.
I'm just kidding.
Bad Flower is a band. Yes, that's what they call themselves. That is their name. But I bet they can name a lot of different types of flowers. Oh. Can you, Dave? I'm asking you to name three kinds of flowers in 10 seconds. Good luck.
Hibiscus, rose, sunflower.
He did it.
Nice.
Are we geniuses?
Yes. Good
this
job.
Game is not hard.
Oh, this puts more pressure on whoever's next, too, though.
Oh, boy.
Guys, three for three.
Go, Stefan.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Chino. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Mike, playing Total Recall. Let's find out who's going to be accepting your clues here.
All right.
And I apologize, but it's me. Sorry, Mike. Welcome to our first loser.
Hey, I got a lot of confidence in my man, Kevin, here.
Which Bean always says before he knows I'm going to lose.
No, I really do. Why not? The amazing... Here we go. You are playing for Mike. The amazing AFI are blessing us with a visit on the night one as well. Since it is widely known that those letters stand for a fire inside, I'm going to ask you, Kevin, to name for us any three things that have the word fire in their name. Three items that have fire in the name in 10 seconds. Good luck.
Fireplace, forest fire, and...
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Kevin!
Fireworks, maybe?
Fireworks.
Fire trucks.
Fireballs.
Fireball.
Right. Arcade fire.
You're fired?
Fire crotch.
Sleep now in the fire.
I'm sorry, Mike.
All right, do we have time for one more?
See, that's what happens when it lands on me. Daniel in Cerritos, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, Daniel, special edition of Total Recall.
Kevin! It's Jensen.
Oh, okay.
Jensen. It's Jensen. You're in good hands, Daniel.
All right. Don't say that.
It's a given. He's already won.
No.
Jensen was doing a lot of mocking when it was your turn, Kevin. Let's see how he does now that he's up to the plate here. Since you're going to be playing for Daniel here.
Yeah, I got you, Daniel.
Since Please. Southern California punk legends Bad Religion are playing the show, I am looking for any three famous religious people, famous men and women who are known for their work ministering their religion, dead or alive. Good luck. 10 seconds starts now.
Gandhi, Kirk Cameron, and Jackie Mason.
Jackie Mason, no.
He's very
comedian.
Jewish.
Just a comedian.
That's not true. He's very Jewish.
He was Jewish, but that's not what he's saying.
Guys, he's the most Jewish. Guys, Jackie Mason is the most Jewish person who's ever been in Hollywood.
But that isn't a
religious figure. That's not the question. He's not a religious figure, though. I was looking for Billy Graham or Mother Teresa.
That's right.
Pat Robertson.
I thought it would have been amazing if I picked people who weren't necessarily off the
top. Oh, so you're
Kirk
just...
Cameron was my favorite.
No, well, that's a great one. That wasn't one. Similar. So you got
Kirk
one.
Kirk Cameron works.
Kirk Cameron does work.
It yeah. Is he a minister?
Works. It doesn't matter.
Is he a minister?
He's a pastor.
Is he?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because Daniel still loses.
No.
Sorry, Daniel.
I feel like you could have come up with Pope Francis, for God's sake.
Would that have even worked?
Yes!
What? I was thinking Hollywood.
What the?
Why?
Jensen, well, why don't you listen to the question?
Jensen!
Jerry,
thank
Eric,
God somebody
and Stefan.
Made me look better.
Is that who we have? Those three are
yes.
in the drawing?
Yes, yes.
All right, only one is going to win tickets to the show and, of course, the Bud Light backstage passes for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018, Saturday, December 8th. Sold out at the Forum. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Eric.
Yeah!
Go
Congrats, oh, wait, he Eric. Said
Frye. He did say
Frye. Yay! I win after all.
He said Go Dogs, He's the bad one. Yeah, we don't want to see you, Eric.
Oh, can't lose.
But congratulations and thanks for playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
The great Louis Anderson is going to be joining us in studio coming up at the 9 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. But before we do that, keep it 100 time, you guys.
Right?
Right. This is where you pick any song we've ever played on K-Rock, past or present, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number you text it to us. You mostly have excellent taste. Check out some of the songs we played for you on your request recently.
We only get what we get. 16 candles down the drain. Might as well be walking on the sun.
I'm sorry, if nobody requests Witch Rot, I'm walking off this show. That's what I'm saying. So 1-800-520-1067, text us any K-Rock song and we'll play it for you coming up after the top of the hour. And, Allie's, what's happening on this Friday?
Friday, first of all, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. It ruined my day yesterday when I found out that Marvel's Daredevil will not see a fourth season on Netflix. They've had a... Yeah. Sad bassoon. They've had a revolving door of showrunners, and they started as 13 episodes. Then Netflix has wanted to cut shows down to 10, and there was some pushback on that. No Luke Cage anymore, no Iron Fist. There is another season of Punisher already done, so they're just waiting to air that, as well as Jessica Jones. But who knows if those will air or if everything kind of gets moved over to the Disney streaming service. I don't know. Here's all I'm saying, you guys. I love Daredevil so much.
You do.
And I'm so super bummed that I'm not going to have a fourth season, you know, in like a year or something. It's a bummer.
That is a bummer. It's a good show.
Real good
When
show.
Does Disney streaming start?
I thought the end of next year.
End of next year,
I think
yeah.
So. End of next year.
So,
okay.
Yeah. But then I heard this news and I was like, you know what? Things are looking up. Things are going to be okay. When I heard that Tom Hanks was reportedly in early talks to play Geppetto, the fatherly puppet maker in Disney's live-action remake of the animated Pinocchio.
I don't want to pile on like Jensen did earlier today.
Oh,
but
I
do.
Why are you, a middle-aged woman, so excited about Pinocchio?
Middle-aged woman? How dare you?
Why are you an older lady so excited about Pinocchio?
Why are you so excited about Pinocchio?
I'm excited for all these live action. The Lion King, super excited for. The Dumbo,
but that's
looks
not even
incredible.
A live action. That's just a CGI version of a cartoon.
Well, yeah, but it's still live action remakes of animated classics.
Just watch the animated classic. You're calling
they're
it classics.
Not, they're not going anywhere. I absolutely could, but to see and hear Donald Glover and Billy Eichner and all of them doing Lion King, Beyonce, that's great. To see Tim Burton's idea of what Dumbo should be, that's exciting to me. Stop crapping on things people like.
Did you like Edward Scissorhands a lot?
I did before
I
knew that Johnny Depp was just a
sure,
garbage
but
person.
But at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that movie.
I love that
Edward
movie, too.
Absolutely.
And that proves that Tim Burton's original ideas are better than his Alice in Wonderland's. And that's what I'm saying, is that we should allow Tim Burton to have his vision without having
having to remake a movie that I could just watch animated.
I'm pretty sure he's still allowed to make his own
But he
stuff.
Doesn't. Also, Geppetto, I just realized, has pedo in it, and he makes a boy.
It's P-E-T-T-O, and he's made of wood.
Good point, Jensen.
He's made of wood.
Of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
All right, he is not. He is not at all.
He is a dick.
Oh, my God. Okay. In stereo. You're all the worst. You guys.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I had told you guys off the air that I saw the movie Vice on Tuesday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is the Dick Cheney story.
The Dick Cheney story. Christian Bale plays Dick Cheney. Sam Rockwell plays George W. Bush. Steve Carell plays Rumsfeld. To say it was one of the best movies I've ever seen, let alone movie of the year, is an understatement.
Is this song in it?
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick.
During the credits, yes.
Credits, okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, yes. But this is Adam McKay, who, of course, everyone knows because of Funny or Die, that he was the head writer for SNL.
Will Ferrell's
Step
partner.
Brothers. Yeah. Will Ferrell's partner. Uh-huh. Did Step Brothers. Did Anchorman. Basically everything that's good in the world, Adam McKay has had some part.
And he's an Oscar winner for The Big Short.
The Big Short, yeah. Exactly. I found this out yesterday. It was an exclusive to Deadline. You know how a lot of people say, oh, they put their heart into that movie? Mm-hmm. He literally did. He had a heart attack during the process of making this movie. So he suffered a heart attack during the making of the film. Really close call for him, but wow. He remembered during one of the scenes that they were shooting, Christian Bale said, how do you want me to do it? And he said, well, what do you mean? It's a heart attack. Your arm starts tingling, that type of thing. And he said, oh, no, one of the more common ways is you start feeling really queasy, your stomach hurts. So as he was working out, because he had gained a lot of weight during this movie and had smoked a lot during the filming of the movie, mm-hmm. that he decided, okay, I've got to do stuff with this trainer. He had been working out, and all of a sudden, his stomach, he was just like, oh, I'm not feeling. And then he's like, oh, God, this could be a heart attack. Ran upstairs. He said he downed a bunch of baby aspirin, called his wife, who immediately called 911, got to the hospital so fast, the doctor said, because you did all that, there's no damage done to your heart. It's still really strong.
He saved his own heart.
Yes. His life.
Yeah.
So he essentially just was cleared by a stent, didn't have to have like huge surgery. But the other amazing thing, and I won't give anything in a way during the movie, but if you want to know more about it, look it up. But he put the heart attack into the movie. Hmm. So there are some visuals that are his heart attack, and video of seeing stuff is now put into the movie.
Because like the Big Short, the fourth wall gets broken throughout this whole movie.
Yes,
right?
A few times. And it's so good, you guys. It comes out on Christmas, and I'm telling you.
I'm sorry, I watched it,
nope,
but I fell asleep.
That is not true at all. And I will say this, before the screening, the guy came out and he goes, this movie is 2 hours and 12 minutes. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's way too long.
Too long.
Nope. I could have sat there for another 2 hours.
They should have made you.
It was phenomenal. But how crazy is this story? And he said, while I was making the movie, I was fairly conscious of the fact that I put some weight on, smoking a lot. My doctor had told me, you've got to stop doing this. And I kept saying to myself, please don't let me have a heart attack while I'm doing a movie about Dick Cheney, who notoriously had a ton of heart attacks.
Yeah,
so,
that's a crazy story.
He also, Adam McKay also recently on Twitter said that he is suffering from essential tremor disorder, mm-hmm. which I know a bit about, but it makes your hand shake. It's like Parkinson's without Parkinson's.
Right.
You look like you have Parkinson's. So he wanted to come out and say he had that. So his health is something he should be looking into.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to get that out there because he's going to be doing a lot of press for this movie, and he didn't want people freaking out. But
so maybe less eating and smoking too, right?
Yes, that would help. Well, essential tremor disorder definitely is a neurological disorder. Yes.
He did stop smoking, and he has lost all the weight. So that's a good sign. What's that like? Right? Just saying, I could lose a few.
Allie, you look wonderful.
Oh, yes, thank you so much. I was fishing.
Yesterday, you did wear a goofy hat, though, and that did bring it all down.
It's a great hat, but for some reason, it kept just poking up to the point where, what was the line? Oh, when do you get back to the Polar Express?
Yeah, it looked like you ran a train at F.A.O. Schwartz.
I will totally admit to this. That was college. How'd you hear about that, first of all? Let's move on, shall we?
All right.
Okay, guys. Some birthdays for you. Billy Idol. Who was prepared for him to be that great when he came on about a month ago?
Oh, he was awesome.
He's always great.
And I'm excited for him at Almost Acoustic Christmas.
That's Billy Elliot. That's
Billy Elliot. Billy Elliot.
Dancing across that stage. Either. No?
Well, happy birthday. Can't wait to see you at the show.
And happy birthday, Ben Stiller, Chrissy Teigen, Stevie Aoki, Kaylee Cuoco, Ryan Murphy, and Gael Garcia Bernal.
Guys, this is our 71st week of doing Kevin and Bean's Keep It 100. How about that?
No kidding.
And we continue to get fantastic requests from you, the Kevin and Bean listener. We play the intro? Is that how we do it?
Yes, yeah.
That's okay, let's do that first. Yeah. I gotta keep it 100. Keep it 100, baby. Keep it 100. Keep it 100. Keep it 100. How many weeks in a row do you think we'd have to do this before I would know how the bit works?
72.
Well, when you were on vacation, I had the whole order wrong. I would go right to the caller, and Allie's like, what are you doing?
And it happened for 3 weeks in a row you did that.
It did.
We're not good. Great request, as always, this week, and we thank you. Alyssa from Long Beach was looking for neighborhood number 3, Power Out by the Arcade Fire, which is a phenomenal song. That was texture number 99. Texture 101 was Matt for the Wallflowers, One Headlight, which I don't hate either, but Brad in the 949 is the guy who texted as number 100, and apparently we texted him back to come on the air, and he was not available?
Hmm.
Is that correct?
I believe so.
He did not allow us to call and put him on the air.
Right. Maybe this is him.
Yeah, no. You got me. This is Matt. This is the B-Rad right here. What's up, yo?
B-Rad is what he goes by?
Okay.
So we do have mugs always standing by if there's a caller we can't get on the line.
I don't know who you're talking about this mugs fool is. This is B-Rad. I already told you that.
Okay. All right, B-Rad, what do you have going on for this weekend?
Well, you know, I'm going to lay back with a couple 40 ounces, hang out with my homeboys, and, you know, just kick it on the real.
Hey, Muggs, you know you're on the phone. You don't have to scream.
He's screaming at the top of his lungs.
It doesn't.
And why are you being so racist?
I'm not being racist. You being racist.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Excellent.
All right, Brad from the 949. How'd you pick the song you came up with?
Well, you know, this is my all-time favorite band from my all-time favorite idol, Mr. Fred Durst.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to go.
Oh, B-Rad.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the one, the only Limp Bizkit and Break Stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, we do. Keep it 100.
It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. No human contact. And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he said, she said foolishness. I think you better quit, let this slip, or you'll be leaving with a fat lip. It's all about the he said, she said foolishness. I think you better quit talking that fish. It's just one of those days. Feeling like a freight train. First one through the plane, leaves with the bloodstain. Damn right, I'm a maniac. You better watch your back, cause I'm f***ing up your program. You just locked up. Next
All right, I'm not going to lie. That sounded pretty good.
Right? Sounded pretty good, Brad.
It's not too bad, B-Rad.
Look, we all want to hate on Limp Bizkit, but you hear that once in a while and you go, okay, I get it.
That
I like
sounded
it.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Now, who was surprised when the great legend, Louis Anderson, stepped into the Kevin Bean studio, sat down, put on his headphones, and said, ooh, Limp Bizkit? Who was surprised by that?
Yeah. That well, you know, great. I listen.
Yeah. Allie, as we always do for Keep It 100 Fridays on the Kevin and Bean Show, I'm going to ask you, and you're usually pretty good at this, when was Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit a big hit here on K-Rock?
It had to be either late 90s, early 2000s. So I'm going to say 2000. 2000? 99. 2000.
2000 is correct.
Yes! Yeah.
Technically, she changed it to 99.
Really did.
But,
yeah, she did. Yeah. She did.
Well, 99.
Right?
That's what I do when people ask me something. I'll just go to bed.
Okay. Just fade out.
That's what I do accidentally.
So, Louis, God bless you for coming in, first
Thank
of all.
Thank you.
You don't know what a huge room of fans you're sitting among right now. This is such an honor for us, and I'm not even kidding.
Thank you so much. That. Well, you know, radio, I don't have to suck up. I already have a job. So, but radio is how comics start. And radio is how you reach people still. Otherwise, you guys wouldn't be getting all that money you get. And it's true, though. And this is still the main social media of comedy. You know, you can see it somewhere posted, but when you hear the person on the radio, it's a connection. It's a connection with the local hosts and the people. You know, you grow up.
That's
true. I mean, you're going to work every day. You become part of people's families. And so we couldn't get on TV when we started, but we could get on radio.
Yeah,
and then we built that thing, and then you never forget it because it's, you know, you want people to come in the show. And even though I don't care how famous you are, if they don't know you're in town, they aren't coming to see you.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, you've always been very generous with your time coming in on the show over the years, and we've talked to you on the phone a bunch too. Louis is in town.
Especially 2007. That was the best.
Yeah, 2007. Great appearance. He is at the Irvine Improv with four big shows this weekend, including tonight, and then two shows tomorrow night, and then the Sunday show. Tickets are just $25, which seems criminally underrated, I think.
Yeah, you need like
that's ridiculous.
You up that that's bit. $25 to come in and to leave. We improv. Want to get out of here. Well, it's going to cost you.
Improv.com/Irvine. Jensen, let's share a little bit with Louis the conversation we were having right before he walked in, because I know that this is kind of a big deal for you,
yeah,
particularly today.
I was a nerd kid who would watch stand-up specials all the time. It was like my main source of entertainment, and watching your specials were such a big deal for me growing up.
Wow.
And you being able to deal with tragedy and so many things that came into your life with humor is, for a lot of my friends in comedy, huge inspiration for us. Was it always something that you wanted to do, to tackle like huge personal subjects through stand-up?
You know, I just wasn't any good at writing jokes, so
well, that's not true one.
Well, but I mean,
It
needed to be real for me. I was a fat kid, so the first joke I wrote is, I can't stay long, I'm in between meals.
So, and that still kills.
You know, the joke still works.
And you did that on Carson, right?
That was my first Carson joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then my dad never hit us. He carried a gun. You know? He never shot us. You know? He just would... Very effective. You know, I tried to convey my dad was, you know, a tough guy. It was hard to deal with a lot. But I wanted to make him human also, because he was a human. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of good things about my dad.
So you take your life and you just try to figure out ways to make it funny but still real.
Yeah. You know, my mom, you know, first words out of her mouth at a restaurant, can we get some extra butter? All right, man, but let us seat your party first. Huh? So I think that, you know, I didn't know I was influencing anyone, which is the amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just doing these acts. I remember working really hard on my very first special. I couldn't sell it. Showtime didn't want it. HBO didn't want it. Nobody wanted it. I went to the local PBS station. I was popular in Minnesota. I said, why don't you guys film it? And you can sell it as a promo to raise money, because I was popular in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So we shot it for $17,000. We shot at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis. It's called Mom, Louie's Looking at Me.
Mm-hmm.
And we raised $50,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Then sold it to Showtime.
That's the one I remember, yeah.
Yes. And on Showtime, it was a big hit. And that was it. You know, we had to, you know, I'm telling you, people put in a lot of work to get where they're going. But you never know. Like, I appreciate what you're saying, but I never knew that you were sitting there. You don't get that until later in life.
That's you the know, same thing with us, too, is that people come up to us and say, I remember when you told us about, and I think I haven't thought about that in 10 years.
You don't know, but that's the live audience. We're just, I was talking to Christine out there. I said, comics get in here. They know that there's somebody right now on the 405. and then 101.
For the last hour and the next hour.
going, Dad, you know, or whatever. And you're listening. And so you're trying to connect. You're going to work. But,
Louis, speaking of going to work,
yeah.
You just celebrated your 40th anniversary as a live stand-up comedian, and you say you're having the most fun you've ever had. How come?
Because
we have a lot of comedians in, not to interrupt, sir, but we have a lot of comedians in who's just like, I just got to do it. I mean, this is my job, and I'm stuck with it at this point. You know what I mean?
Because I can't do it if I'm just doing it like that.
Really?
If I'm not 100% connected, I couldn't do it. Because I'm there. Like, I do a whole thing before I do the show. I do a mantra. You know, you're the greatest. Don't forget that. Don't forget God. Hey, God, make me as great as I can possibly be. I'm looking for the perfect show. I'm trying to do better.
You do that before every single show?
Every single show.
No kidding.
And then I go, give me some water. no, but I mean, I do prayers right after the show. I do thanks and gratitude and prayers. Because, you know, I was, you know, early in my career, I was a little full of myself at times. And I lost my way a few times. I'd mail it in. I wasn't doing the show. But now I'm 1,000% present in the show.
And you're grateful every day.
What changed?
Yes. Losing people in my life. That changed. Mm. But losing, you know, you aren't famous forever. So you have dips in, luckily... They're good things. You have peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. And when you sit in a valley long enough, you get moss grows on you. And you get lost. You lose yourself. But then stand-up always kept me going. When I couldn't get a job on TV, I was in Vegas working. Mm-hmm. You know, 3 million people to see your billboard every weekend. So
how many years have you worked in Vegas?
Since 1984.
Wow.
I went from The Tonight Show on November 20th, 1984, to The Comedy Store... At the Dunes Hotel, November 21st, with Sam Kennison, Louis Anderson, Jim Carrey, Blake Clark, Harry Basil. We did a 5-show at the Dunes Hotel, the Comedy Store at the Dunes Hotel. I worked there 1 week. The next week, I got the job across the street at Bally's opening for the Commodores.
Yeah.
Just from that one Tonight Show.
Wow.
From that Tonight Show.
And you were at Bally's for a while, right?
I was at Bally's for 11 years.
Yeah, I remember
First
that.
I opened for every single great act. Ray Charles, Glenn Campbell, you know, Smokey
Robinson. Like, what's it like to open for musicians? Because I feel like the crowd sort of...
They're there to see Brick House.
Is ready to see Brick House, right.
Brick House! And I would come out.
What's the response?
And I would go, do you like butter? What's this one size fits all stuff? you know, I would come out, but I was, you know, I had a completely clean act so they could put me in front of anyone else because the band really doesn't want another band to tear down the band thing for their then.
But you say that, but 99.9% of acts that go out on the road, Louis, have another musical band.
That's just because the music company makes them. I don't think they'd do it if there wasn't something.
You think they would still have comedians or some other type of...
Metallica, the other night in Vegas, Jim Brewer.
I didn't know.
Right, really?
We didn't see that. Old here, you guys.
Right. So, you know, it all depends on the act, but I think it's mostly an economics thing where they get the act, they go, listen, you know, their agency or their music label says, hey, will you put... you know, Limp Bizkit on.
That's the label I want to be on right now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've all seen great acts on before great acts. Mm-hmm. And when you're a comedian, and I wasn't famous at the time, so I would go, and that got me more fans. But, you know, I did 20 minutes. That's all they want. That's all you want before you. Right. I don't want somebody doing an hour and a half tribute to try to go, I'm going to kill Limp Bizkit. I'm going to destroy them. Nobody's going to even want to stay for Limp Bizkit. You know?
I love Louis' tough guy voice.
Yeah, do you, huh?
We have to take a break. I'm so sorry. We're so enraptured in this conversation.
Right,
look at the time. Louis Anderson is here. We're not done yet. We're coming back with more. He's at the Irvine Improv with 4 big shows this weekend. Tonight, 2 shows Saturday night and then Sunday night, improv.com/Irvine to buy the tickets. When we come back, Allie's going to cry because we're going to talk about baskets and more.
And
with Louis Anderson.
His book. I haven't even started on the Dear Dad. I can't.
Okay, right after this. Okay, look. He is not only a legendary stand-up comedian, he is a 3-time Emmy Award winner, ladies and gentlemen. Louis Anderson in the studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Allie, what did you say right before Louis walked in the room?
I said, I don't want to cry, but honestly, baskets...
said Christine is coming in.
That show moved me in a way that I every single year, I'm like, how do they top it? And every single year, especially your role as Christine Baskets, it's such a passive-aggressive, quietly optimistic, really loud, really feisty and sassy. It's all these layers. And I feel like Christine Basket reinvents herself every season. And I don't know how you do it. And she's perfect. And you're perfect at it.
Ah, I'm going to go.
Is that enough?
It won't get better than that.
It won't get better than
that. No.
Listen, it's something I can't explain. I wish I could. I go in there. I put the clothes on. And then I get the makeup on. Yeah. I get the wig on. And then I leave Louis Anderson in the trailer. And I leave that trailer as Christine Baskets.
And I imagine it gave you kind of a newfound respect for your mom.
Oh, my God. They gave me everything.
Yeah.
Like that, I just said. I just went, oh, my God, my mom. Like, I never knew my mom got up and got ready to make us breakfast. To be presentable.
You just don't think about that.
You don't think about that stuff. Or I didn't know how much she stood in between my dad and us and protected us. I didn't know any of that stuff. I did not know. And honestly, I play the part as real as I possibly can. And I actually felt responsible for the kid, for Chip and Dale. I feel responsible for them.
Wow.
And Martha. I feel responsible for all these people.
Oh, Martha's magic.
Yeah. So I feel so responsible. That I, when I'm mad, I'm mad, and when I'm happy, I'm happy, and when I'm hopeful, I'm hopeful.
You're literally their mom.
I'm literally their mom.
Oh, wow.
Did Zach have you in mind for this role, or did he see a bunch of other people for it?
He wanted a British woman named Brenda something or other. I should call her and thank her for not being available. And then Zach made, he said, I'm looking for a voice, and he made the sound, for my mom's character. And somebody said, Louis Anderson? That sounds like Louis Anderson. He goes, yeah. He goes, should we call him? Yeah. And they called me. And I said,
wow.
Who is this? How'd you get this number? No, and then I said, yes, I'd love to. Because, you know, I do my mom's voice
before.
And my act.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I do, you know, I do her voice. I do a different voice for Christine. It isn't my voice. I'm telling you, some kind of...
It takes over you.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
You know about that. Right?
Voodoo?
He's down
sure.
Yeah,
he's,
oh, Bean does.
New Orleans a lot, yeah.
Yeah, Bean does.
Bean.
Yeah, Voodoo is very popular
here. So some kind of transformation honestly takes place. I don't let people call me Louie on the set.
You don't?
Nope.
You must have an entire new fan base from people who may not even have been familiar with your comedy, who just know you from that show, I bet.
Yes. I mean, you know, you have, like, they're like... You know, they're like you are.
Yeah.
They're
young and beautiful.
Yeah. You could play Christine's niece.
Oh, please let
don't
me.
Don't even say
please
that out
let
loud.
Me.
Unless you mean
hey,
it. Why don't say
you,
it.
Why don't you send a resume and sub? We'll send it right to the casting
person.
No, don't.
No. Why don't you be Martha's friend? Oh, my God.
Oh, speaking of voodoo, this is going to turn into a thing where she just prays every night.
You have no
but you really would be great. You really, Christine would say to you, hey, kid, where'd you get that hat?
Christine should have seen yesterday's hat.
Yesterday's hat was a lot.
Yes. A little worse.
It was a lot.
Louis, tell us something we don't know about Zach Galifianakis, because we're all huge fans of his and have been forever as a comedian and as an actor.
And he comes in and we still don't know.
Yeah. And that he and Martha were friends for 20 years, and he wanted her to do the show, and she did not want to screw it up, and he really had to convince her to be on this show. She's such a lovely person. She just was afraid she wouldn't do well. And he is as cruel as he can be to Martha on the show.
Yes. Right.
You know, because
on the show.
Even in between. Yeah. Like we'll do a take and he'll go, ugh, you screwed that up. And Martha will panic for a second. They have a great relationship. She's a great person. You wouldn't know that. And you wouldn't know that Zach sits and talks with everybody, you know, the extras, the people that do it, and that he'll hate I'm telling all this stuff. And that on Friday nights he gets a truck, you know.
Yeah, food truck.
A food truck, a special stuff that he pays for.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the extra treat because people are working late.
Yeah.
And so you look forward to that truck. You know, barbecue, you know, lasagna, whatever the truck is, you know. I'm right
there. He's that guy.
Louis, you're first in line.
Right, yeah.
No, but he's that guy. And also, he's the greatest human being. Like, he does a lot of stuff on, he doesn't tell you about it, but he does lots of charity stuff.
Yeah.
And, but he never calls me, huh?
I wonder why that is.
Anyways, that doesn't matter. Louis, what is your show?
I do Drop the Mic.
That's the show.
You haven't done it, but no, it is something we have asked you to do in the past.
Yes, I know, but only if Zach will do it with me.
Oh, awesome.
That would be good for right before basket.
Listen.
Martha, Zach, and I.
Yes.
We'll go against Zach.
I would love
he's
this.
So cruel.
Oh, Martha as the again. Hype woman.
Again. That would be
because cool. She's
oh,
the...
she would be so good.
Oh,
I am.
Or if you would have not spoken so fast, you could have become
right.
Dang it.
Louis Anderson comes into the Kevin and Bean show and just offers gigs and figures out ways that we can monopolize on his life. And I love that.
I love that, too.
Yeah. Louis, what did it, if you could put into words for me, obviously you've had a long, successful career, but what did it feel like to stand on the stage and win the Primetime Emmy for your role on Baskets?
You know, I just loved it because when they announced my name, I went, ha ha. You know, because I love The Simpsons.
Yes,
I said, because that's Nelson. How you feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you feel when you win. Ha ha. I'm sorry, but I got it. And then when I got up, I raised the Emmy up and I said, we did it, Mom. Yeah. I gave her the
beautiful. Wonderful. You know, we cried when we saw that.
Let's squeeze in one phone call. It's Dee Dee from Los Angeles. Good morning,
Hi,
Dee Dee.
Hi, good morning.
I just
really wanted to say I read your book. I dressed up like Martha for Halloween. Like, I really appreciate you as Christine. I love it. Her kids screw up and she still loves them and she's still there and appreciates them. Just, I am in such agreement with Allie that I cry every time I watch Baskets because it's such a wonderful portrayal of a family.
Yep.
Because you love each other, you hate each other, but ultimately the love's there, and that is what keeps you going. So thank you, Louis.
You know, we're going to...
Go ahead. I'm going to cry, but like, I really appreciate you. So I'm sorry, I don't geek out normally, but like, you just do something to my heart.
Oh, Dee Dee, you're my spirit animal.
I love Dee Dee. Yeah. Dee Dee, I love you.
That whole thing's going to end up on the Baskets poster.
But listen, you know, that's a really great example. That, you know, happens to me in airports. It happens to me on radio. It happens to me, the strangest thing. It could be a guy who's a businessman executive, and he won't do what that happened, but he'll come over, squeeze my arm or get my attention and go, oh, man, I just love that Baskets. And then it'll just go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
It's just a true acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing to do in an airport is when I'm walking down the thing, just to go, Chip! 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 And then people whip around. And then I whip around. Chip!
Well, Louis, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you have touched so many people with your stand-up, with your books. We were talking about a lot off-air, and obviously with the TV show. I mean, you're nowhere near stopping either, right? You're going to keep on going.
I just did 5 episodes of a show called Search Party.
Oh, I love Search Party.
Oh,
TBS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's great. I did 5 episodes of that. FX was nice enough to let me get out of that.
When is the rap battle going to happen?
I know. Yeah. He's already in the it's TBS happening. Family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I'm texting as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, the other thing I want to say is you never know who's going to stop down to the Improv this week and do some stand-up with me.
Oh. Okay. Oh.
That's a big hello.
All right.
Anyway.
Very nice.
Good to know, because that's know. You should go, because
Irvine, I might not even be there. Where's Louie? Who cares?
Irvine Improv, 4 shows this weekend. Don't miss it. Tonight, what's the best show to come see of the weekend, if you know something we don't know, Louie?
Well, the first show are always the greatest fans.
There you go.
Okay, all right.
Saturday,
Friday night, that's
Saturday.
Tonight at 7:30.
Well, all right. Yeah, I got surprises every night.
Oh, there you
okay.
go.
Okay. Okay. 2 shows Saturday, 1 show Sunday, you know. $25, improv.com/Irvine. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all give it up for the great Louis Anderson.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
Were Allie's comments about Baskets to Louis Anderson a minute ago longer than her question to Blink-182, do you think?
I don't think so, because she wasn't drunk.
I don't know. It seemed like
Speak
it went on
for
forever.
Yourself.
She had a lot to say to Louis about baskets, man.
Oh, my God. I genuinely love him and his character.
Oh, I do, too.
Stop clapping on people today.
No, I was just saying.
We need to bring Bill Burr back in to give it to you.
I saw him fall asleep twice during the question, though.
Yeah, she was reading it off a scroll. Like, it kept rolling out the whole time.
I just like, when is it going to end? Yeah. There was a lot of love in the room, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Back then?
Till now, yeah.
In those days. That was fun. Hey, it's the final What's Happening for the Week, and Allie is here to tell us what's going on.
You know when you write to a big superstar, and they never write you back?
Right.
Ricky Schroeder, I'm looking at you. That was my one and only fan letter that I ever wrote to Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons.
My kind of reference.
But that is not what happened in the case of a 9-year-old huge fan of Golden State Warriors Steph Curry. Her name is Riley Morrison, and she wrote him a letter saying that she was pretty disappointed in him that there weren't girl sizes for his signature Under Armour sneakers.
Interesting.
Well, Steph Curry has responded in a way that couldn't be more lovely.
Just the letter that says, beat it, kid.
Beat it, kid.
You think it was partly because the little girl's name was Riley, like his daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. But no, I think he realized that, ooh, crap, you know what? Riley, you're 9 and you're so right on this. He wrote back, hey, Riley, I appreciate your concern and have spent the last 2 days talking to Under Armour about how we can fix this issue. Unfortunately, we have been labeling smaller sizes as boys on the website. We are correcting this now. I want to make sure you can wear my kicks proudly. So I'm going to send you a pair of Curry 5s now, and you're going to be one of the first kids to get the Curry 6. And lastly, we have something special in the works for International Women's Day on March 8th, and I want you to celebrate with me.
She gets to play.
More to come on that.
For the Warriors.
But plan to be in Oakland that night. Whoa. All the best.
Look at that.
Right?
Wow, that's above and beyond.
Steph Curry. Yeah. What if she wrote back and she's like, oh, my bad. I thought I was talking to Jordan about his shoes.
I was going to say, it would have been nicer if he sent her Jordans, really, because the Currys are kind of garbage.
They look a little like nursing home, right?
Yeah, they look
dad shoes.
I feel like you guys are taking away from the beauty of this
story.
Yeah,
it is a beautiful story.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Better shoes she could be buying. That's all.
So write to celebrities, and maybe they'll write back, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
It's not really what I'm saying. You guys, I read this and I thought, that sounds gross. But you know how IKEA does meatballs and people love the meatballs
at
IKEA?
Man. Yeah.
How about some little salmon balls? Yeah.
I didn't know salmon had balls.
They do. They're hard to find. But the store announced in a press release that they're going to be introducing a salmon ball. The balls will be seasoned with seaweed and lemongrass to capture, quote, the fresh taste of the Nordic sea.
Balls, 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 balls.
So there you have it. After a trial run, apparently a huge hit, you guys. So that's kind of a big deal. If you want some salmon balls, head on down to the IKEA. Right?
Right.
Did you guys see the Tommy Lee story with him and Travis Scott?
Yeah.
Sounds ugly.
So, yeah, Motley Crue's Tommy Lee blasted Travis Scott over his use of a circular stage roller coaster that Lee claims he pioneered. Travis Scott has been using that during his Astro World tour. So Tommy Lee posted a bunch of videos, and he's like, just found out this effing idiot Travis Scott or someone on his team ripped off the 360 and the Crucify. WTF, get an original idea, bro. He tweets just how he talks, which
he does,
I find fascinating. So this went on. Then a lawyer for Travis Scott told TMZ, Tommy didn't invent the concept of a roller coaster. And there's no legal basis for this accusatory outburst. The actual creator and owner of the system that has granted Travis all rights to use the equipment to complement his original stage design. So it's the same guy that's like, yeah, you can use it. Absolutely. Get it out there more.
When, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
I think he's been saying that for years, you guys.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
Excellent news.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
Lemonade indeed.
Jensen, did you ever hear the practical joke that he played on Dave and I?
No.
King of Mexico and I?
Uh-uh.
He invited us over to his house.
Okay.
When Pam Anderson was still his wife.
Sure.
And he said, come on over, but you have to dress up. because my wife's having a big party and there's going to be a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. And so Dave and I put on shirts and ties and we showed up. And he's just in his garage, like making music with a friend. He's like, you guys really thought there was a party?
Oh,
she wasn't even in the house. They were the only ones home. And Dave and I are all dressed up standing there in the driveway. And I was like, well done. Huh. Well played, sir.
Well done.
Yes.
And I will just wrap this up with this headline because I thought, well, why are they doing a story about Bean? The headline is, the Christmas creep is real. But apparently they're talking about how Christmas is creeping up on you earlier and earlier every year. And
that's bananas.
One of the ways that they found out was
it Bean?
The Washington Post tracked Google search interest for the 1994 hit song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, and found how much earlier it trends every single year.
Is that
so right? Now trending in October, when before it was, you know, December.
Yeah.
Then it moved right around Thanksgiving, and now it starts trending in October. So
it's like climate change.
Yes, the Christmas creep is real, y'all.
We're going to start playing Christmas music after 4th of July.
I mean,
come on, people.
I'm about it.
Right? I know you are.
Right?
Don't you guys feel that October, November, and December should all have the same
birthdays?
Oh,
right.
Some
birthdays.
Don't even get me started about February.
Bug
you that November only has 30.
Billy Idol, happy birthday, and that's what's happening.
Man, oh man, oh man. Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Strikers commercial free-for-all during your drive home today here on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Obviously.
Roll another one.
That's a woman for you.
Just like the other one.
Avocado hand.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
And I need another hit.
You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. I mean, what a bunch of ignorant, small town assholes you've all turned out to be.
So there's that.
Roll another one.
Moist. Oh.
Just like the other one.
Moist.
This one seems to be about this mess.
Who hurt you?
And I don't have another cent.
Wow, you guys are really covering both demos, aren't you? 20s and late 80s.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
Just pass it around.
What's a doorstop?
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What the hell is that smell?
And just pass it on down.
That is all of tonight's entertainment. We shall return next week with more of the same.
I stand behind my decision. This press conference is over. I can't see you now. I can't hear you now. You're not here now. La, 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 la.
Well, now, gentlemen, this is it. Goodbye. Obviously, I don't care to make a big deal out of it, so I think it's sufficient just to go around and each of you say a memory or two of times where I've profoundly impacted your life. It doesn't have to be a profound impact.
We're leaving now.